Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Hey, well, welcome to My City Church Online. We could not be more thankful that you've decided to tune in with us. We want to say a massive welcome home, wherever you are, if you're watching from your phone or from the comfort of your living room. We cannot be more thankful that you are with us, and we are praying that the presence of God is going to meet you right where you're at. And we've been in a 21-day journey called There Is Hope, and we'd love for you to join us on this 21-day journey building towards Easter, and want to give you some information about it. You can go to mycitychurch.cc/thereishope. Also, would love for you to follow us on Facebook or Instagram, mycitychurch.cc or at mycitycentral, and so much great content coming to you each and every day, from whether you're a mom at home with your kids or struggling with anxiety. We believe that there is hope for your situation, and we are building hope into your life as we build towards Easter. And next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we believe that we've been talking about there is hope, and we believe that Easter Sunday is going to be this amazing beginning to a turnaround, not only in our city, but around the world. And we've literally titled it and declared it, Hope is Here. And we believe that for you. Easter Sunday is going to be an awesome time. And there's so many ways that you can make a difference by following us on social media, sharing our live streaming. It's going to be an incredible time. And today, as we gather around God's Word, we've been looking at stories of Jesus post-resurrection. And we're going to pick up in one of those stories today. If you got your Bibles with me, John chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 19 through 22. And here's what it says. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I love this passage of scripture, and that's why today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought. Sent with hope. Sent with hope. Can we pray today? Father, we thank you that your presence is real and tangible. Wherever people are listening from today, God, I pray that hope would enter their life, that no matter what they're facing, whether they've lost a job or going through financial difficulty, whatever they're facing, God, I pray that they would see beyond their circumstance to the hope that is found in Jesus. And we thank you that, Lord, you are bringing refreshing to people as they listen to this. Lord, speak to us today. May we leave here at this moment differently than we came in. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I got a question for you. Have you ever done something that really scared you? Like it scared you, but you determined in your heart you were going to press beyond the fear and go ahead and do it anyway. You know, I've had several of these situations in my life, but one of them that sticks out so much is several years after me and my wife, Angela, got married, my mom and dad decided to surprise us with going skydiving. Like, we were driving and we didn't really know where we were going, and then they told us, "Hey, we're taking you skydiving." And if you know my wife, many of you may not, but some of you do, my wife has a terrible fear of heights. And so as soon as she heard the word skydiving, it was like this glaze went over her face. And me being a typical guy, I'm like, "Oh, no worries, no fear here. I've got this thing." And I was kind of giving my wife a hard time and trying to be tough. And the whole way to the airport, we were kind of talking about it. I could just tell my wife was just terribly scared the whole way there. And I remember we went through some training and we watched some videos, and we didn't go solo. We went through this thing called tandem, which is they strap somebody who's like a professional to your back. And I remember going up in the airplane and my wife's face is just petrified and I'm getting a kick out of it. I'm like thinking, this is no big deal. I'm not afraid at all. And we got to that moment where they told us, hey, we're getting high enough. We're getting ready to jump out of the plane. And if you've ever been skydiving, these planes that they put you in, it's almost a relief to jump out of them, to be honest with you. It's plywood floors. You kind of see through cracks in it, and you're kind of ready to get out of this thing. And I'm thinking, I've got no fear whatsoever. This is good. People do this all the time. My wife looks petrified. And little did I know, when I got out of the plane, everything would shift for me. Not only would everything shift for me, but everything would shift for my wife. And I thought it would be awesome today to see a little video of what happened. Why don't you check this out? Oh man, I don't know if you saw that or not, but I was so confident on the plane ride up there. And it was like the minute that I got out of the plane, fear gripped me. My wife was scared the whole way up there. The minute she got out of the plane, she was like liberated. She's smiling the whole way down. My face is absolutely terrified. And the crazy thing is, I had this thing happen to me. It's like a scientific fact for people that jump out of planes. It's this thing called ground fixation. As I got out of the plane, fear gripped me, and I began to like literally glue my face to the ground. And as I'm going down, it was like everything else but me and my fear disappeared. And in that moment, I got so fixated on the ground. Literally, scientists will tell you, and many people have experienced this, that people, they get ground fixation, their fear takes over, and they will literally watch the ground all the way till they hit the ground, and they'll literally never pull the chute. I remember the guy that was attached to my back was like, hey, do you want to pull the chute? I don't even remember hearing him. Finally, he just decided he was going to pull the chute, and the chute comes out, and then all of a sudden, it was like I was snapped out of this fear. And I got to thinking about how fear can play a role in our lives like that. One of the things that happens to us when fear grips us is all of a sudden, everything going on around us disappears, and we get over-fixated on what is going on the inside of us. It's like fear grips us, and all of a sudden, the whole world disappears, and the only thing that we can pay attention to is ourselves. The only thing that we can pay attention to is the fear that has gripped us. I think in our world right now, many people have ground fixation. They're stuck in a little bit of fear. And here's the crazy thing about fear. A spirit of fear, God has not given us, the Bible tells us. But fear is a healthy thing. Like, if I reach out and touch a hot stove and it burns me, it gives me a level of fear that tells me, don't touch hot stoves. See, fear can be healthy, but fear can also be unhealthy when it grips our life and it causes us to over-fixate on ourselves. Here's the reality that I want you to see about fear. Fear can block out risk, but it can also block out hope. See, fear builds walls around us. Fear is given to us by God in a healthy way to prevent us from making mistakes that will harm our life. But the reality is that sometimes fear can overcome us and we can get overly fixated and turned on the inside. And the walls that we build that we're trying to block out risk, the reality is they start blocking out everything good in our life as well. That the hope that God wants to bring to our life, we become overly fixated on the fear that is going on in our life. And the reality is we're blocking out the hope that God wants to bring into our lives. I want to challenge you today, during the middle of this season of coronavirus, that there's a healthy level of fear or respect to what is going on in our world right now. But don't let it get you to become overly fixated on it, where then you begin to put up walls that rather than blocking out risk, you begin to block out hope in your life. You know, as we read this story in John about the disciples, they've experienced some incredible things. They've been following Jesus for 3 years of their life. They've experienced miracles, his power. They believe he's the Son of God, but they've also experienced some things that have brought fear into their life. They've watched Jesus be crucified. They've They've all scattered. Some of them have made mistakes, like we learned about Peter last week, where he denied Jesus. And they are trapped in fear. They are trapped in this situation where they do not know what to do. And that fear has caused them to literally introvert on themselves, to become overly fixated on themselves. And here's what I need you to see from this passage of Scripture, that fear has caused the disciples to introvert. They were destined by God to turn the world upside down, but because of the fear that they've experienced, they become overly fixated on themselves, and that fear has caused them to introvert on their lives. That word introvert is so interesting to me. I want you to see the definition that I came up with for introvert, and here's what it says: to turn in on oneself. To turn in on oneself, to become overly fixated on oneself, to bring a level of oppression or literally depression to one's life by becoming overly fixated on oneself. See, the disciples have let fear come in, and that fear is causing them to introvert. And the reality is now they're literally locked in a room for fear. And they've introverted on themselves. I think during this crisis, the danger that we're all facing is bigger than just the coronavirus. I think the real fear is to let fear grip us, for us to lose track of the world going on around us, to become introverted on ourselves. Therefore, that introverting on oneself leads to depression, anxiety, and really the fear of a thing becomes worse than the thing that we're facing. And the disciples are really going through this, and they've locked themselves in a room, the Bible says, because of fear of the Jews. Here's the interesting thing about the situation that they find themselves in. The interesting thing about the situation that they find themselves in is that bad things couldn't get in. They were fearful of the Jews coming to do literally what they had done to Jesus. They are afraid of losing their lives. And so they've locked themselves in a room together. And so the bad things couldn't get in. But here's the interesting part. But neither could the good things. And I think many of us can feel a level of relatability with this situation. Right now, our world is, I think the last estimate was 3.4 billion people are in lockdown. And we've locked down ourselves to keep the bad things from getting in. But here's my concern to you today. Is that fear also blocking the good things that God wants to bring in your life? Is it blocking out hope? Is it blocking out God's best for your life, even in the middle of a difficult situation? And I believe that God wants you to understand that that's not his desire for your life. In fact, God wants to take this season to bring more hope to your life than ever before. I want you to see what begins to happen in this story. The disciples, they're locked away because of fear. They've introverted on themselves. They begin overly fixated on themselves. They're blocking out all the bad things that could come against them, but I think they're blocking out some hope. And I want you to see Jesus's response to their situation. John chapter 20, verse 19, and here's what it says. Jesus came and stood among them. You got to get this picture, okay? They are locked in a room. They're locked in a house. For fear, they've become introverted on themselves. But Jesus doesn't let them stay that way. It's like it's like all of a sudden they're sitting there full of fear, not knowing what to expect, and then boom, Jesus just pops through the wall. I love that about Jesus because he doesn't care the walls that you build. He'll just show up anyway. And he came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Here's what I need you to understand. Jesus is not afraid of any wall that we build. You may be struggling with fear, and that fear is causing you to put up walls. But can I tell you today, the gift of the resurrection is that Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, there is no wall that can keep Jesus from you. No matter how dark it is, no matter how introverted you get, Jesus wants to just come and stand amongst you. He wants to come and be with you. Can I tell you today, are you aware of Jesus' presence in your life? Are you aware that though you may be stuck inside, he's come and shown up to stand amongst you? That he's with you. He's an ever-present help in time of need. He wants to come and stand amongst you. And the reason he wants to come and stand amongst you is exactly what he said. He wants to come and announce in the middle of a fearful situation, in the middle of being introverted, in the middle of what seems hopeless, he wants to come and announce, peace be with you. I find it's interesting that that's the first thing he says. Like, he pops through the wall. Like, listen, if somebody pops through the wall when you're full of fear, you're gonna need somebody to tell you, peace be with you. I kind of find it funny. I don't know if you do, but he just kind of pops through the wall. And, hey, guys, peace be with you. And the reality is I think that that's what Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to show up in the morning in your living room when the kids are kind of frantic because they've been stuck inside, and he wants you to hear a voice from heaven that says, peace be with you. Here's what I believe Jesus wants to do. Jesus can bring peace to any fear. Jesus can bring peace to any fear. I'm not saying that Jesus will remove all fear, but even in the face of fear, God can help you bring peace to your life, not to introvert on yourself, not to collapse on yourself, not to wall off all the hope, but he will step through that wall in the middle of it and announce to you, peace be with you. I want you to see the disciples' response when Jesus does this. I love this. In John chapter 20, verse 20, it says this. After he said that, after he had shown up and stood amongst them, after he had announced peace to them, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So Jesus pops into their world and he literally has to confirm that it's him. How does he confirm it? He points to the cross. He literally shows them his hands and his sides, and he's making this declaration. I know it's fearful right now. I know you feel introverted. I know you're trying to wall off the bad, but I want to remind you that don't wall off hope in your life. You know what the hope Jesus is trying to bring? He's trying to make a declaration to us that no matter what we are facing, the cross has overcome it. His hands and his side are literally this voice coming to you in the middle of your world saying, peace be with you. Jesus went to the cross to make peace between you and God. So whatever tries to break up that peace, let me tell you, the cross is stronger than it. And the response of the disciples when they realized that peace was with them, that the cross was standing between them and every difficult thing that was gonna try to take their joy and take their hope, here's what their response. They were overjoyed. Can I challenge you in the midst of your situation? No matter what you're feeling, whether you're full of faith or you feel hopeless, take time to reflect on the cross. Take time to consider, as the book of Hebrews says, him who endured such painful opposition from sinful man, but for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Listen, he endured so much pain so that no matter what's coming your way, you would not be stuck in fear, but you could have peace with you, that you could find an overjoyed spirit again. He wants you to see him as he is. He's a deliverer. He's hope. He's peace in the middle of your storm. It is powerful, this passage of scripture, because what many of you may not understand is that Jesus prophesied about this moment. I want you to see many chapters earlier in John chapter 16, what Jesus said. He said, I've told you these things. He's told them that he's going to the cross. And here's why. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. That if we are in Christ, if we reflect on what Jesus has done for us on the cross, can I just tell you, it doesn't matter what comes your way. If death comes your way, if life comes your way, no matter what, because what Jesus has done for you on the cross, you win. You win in the end. So no matter what this world throws our way, we can be in him and we can have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus is saying, hey, what we're going through right now, hasn't caught me off guard. In fact, I told you that in this world, you're gonna have trouble. But here's the promise because of the cross. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Can I tell you, that's what God wants you to understand. He is shouting at you in the middle of this situation, these words, take heart. Take heart in the middle of this. Like, don't let fear overwhelm you. Don't let your peace be robbed. Don't wall yourself off and block out hope in your life. Instead, take heart. Why? Because he's overcome the world, which means that we are gonna experience trouble, sometimes pain, sometimes difficulty in this world. But no matter what, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, we can take heart because he has overcome the world. I love that declaration. Peace be with you. Take heart. You don't have to give up. You don't have to be hopeless. Don't wall yourself off from God's best because peace is coming your way. I love, that's the first peace be with you. But in this passage of scripture, Jesus says peace be with you twice. And I want you to see something profound that Jesus also wants to bring to our life in the middle of this. It's John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. Why did he say peace be with you twice? Because I think that there are different levels of peace that God wants to bring to us in the middle of difficult situations. When it feels like we want to introvert on ourselves, wall ourselves off, try to protect ourselves, God wants us to bring the peace that says, you know what? I have overcome the world. There is nothing to fear. But there is another level of peace that God wants to bring to your world during this season. And here's what it is. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. What is Jesus saying? It doesn't matter what this world throws your way. There is purpose for your life. I know, disciples, you may feel like you are walled off in a room because you are full of fear. But I want to announce to you, peace be with you. And not only that, beyond this, this too shall pass. You will not be in this room forever. I want to give you a sense of purpose. God sent me in the middle of a difficult situation to overcome the world. And because I've overcome the world, you have nothing to fear. And because you have nothing to fear, I'm sending you to be a message of hope in the world. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus can bring peace to your life by giving you a message of hope. It's a message of hope for you personally, but bigger than that, it's a message of hope for you to carry wherever you go. You may be stuck inside right now, but your voice is not stuck. There can be hope on your tongue. There can be hope through a keyboard on Facebook. There can be hope through a post on Instagram. There can be a hope by picking up FaceTime or making a Zoom call to somebody in your world. God has not removed your purpose during this season. Your purpose is people, and God is saying that he has sent you to carry this message of hope. God has sent you to carry this message of hope. Last week, our church has rallied, and we begin to take care of kids that are in need. Many kids are out of school right now, and we are packaging 5 days of meal, 5 days of meals apiece, and we've been having individuals drop it off at people's houses. Literally, hundreds of kids have been taken care of. This is what it's about, that we are not just stuck in the middle of a season of fear, but in the middle of this season of fear, we are going to realize that we have been sent with a message of hope. I want you to check out this video. Man, I could not be more proud of our church. Literally hundreds of kids taken care of last week. And more than that, it's just gonna keep on building. And I wanna remind us as a church that in the middle of this situation, in the middle of this circumstances, we have been sent with hope. As Jesus was sent, so are we. And we are gonna carry that message of hope in the middle of our world. I wanna say thank you for your generosity, your continued giving. Right now, our church is stepping up to make more of a difference than ever before. We have made a decision that we are not gonna let fear cause us to introvert. We have made a decision that we are not gonna let fear cause us to be locked behind closed doors. with wisdom and with understanding, we are gonna hear Jesus's voice that says, peace be with you. And we're gonna let that peace rise up in hope. And we're gonna realize that we've been sent into our world to carry that message of hope. We are sent with hope. The thing I love about this story so much is Jesus tells the disciples, I'm sending you with this message of hope. It's the message of the cross. Look at my hands. Look at my side. This is what I've done for humanity. Now I'm sending you beyond the fear that you're facing with this beautiful message of hope. But I want to remind you today, no matter what you're going through, he's not sending you alone. Here's the last verse that Jesus says, John chapter 20, verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus didn't just give us a command to go into all the world or to spread a message of hope. No, he gave us a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He gave us the Holy Spirit that would live inside of us, that in moments where we've walled ourselves off and we've become introverted, that the Holy Spirit would just kind of pop into the room and declare to us, peace be with you. It's a peace that causes us to remind ourselves that we don't have to be fearful, that we can be full of hope in the middle of this situation. It's a presence in our life that reminds us that we are here for a purpose, on purpose, that we have been sent with hope because we have been sent with the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing that I want you to understand about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit replaces fear with peace and hopelessness with purpose. So if you're facing fear today, there is the person of the Holy Spirit, even right now, wherever you are. He wants to surround you with a peace that surpasses all understanding. He wants to flood your hearts and minds with his love. He wants to show up in the parts of your world that you've walled off because of fear. And remind you, you don't have to introvert, but you can get your eyes off yourself. You can look outwards with hope. He wants to remind you that as you look out with hope in your eyes, that there is a world around us that needs the church to have a message of hope, that he wants to turn your hopelessness into purpose. Can I tell you today, we want to be like Jesus. Here's what Jesus represented in this story, and I want to be like Jesus. I want to be the person who is breaking down the walls. That whatever walls are going up in our world, I want to do everything I can to cross those walls to bring hope into people's situations. You know what I want to do? I want to bring peace instead of fear. I want to have a positive declaration in my mouth. We are going to get through this together. Peace be with you. We're going to bring peace instead of fear. And you know what I want to be? I want to be a carrier of hope. So much of our world right now is worried about the carrying of the coronavirus. Many people don't even know if they have it, but they may be a carrier. Can I tell you, the reality is you were built to be a carrier. You were built to be a carrier of hope. And whatever you carry, it's infectious. So let's be the church that is infected with hope. That no matter what we're seeing, no matter how much fear we're facing, we're not gonna introvert. We're not gonna let fear get on the inside of us. We are gonna be carriers of hope in the middle of this situation. I want to remind you today that you have been sent with hope. You have been sent with hope. And we are literally just a week away from Easter. What would happen this Easter season if you decided I'm not going to be introverted in fear, but I'm going to be extroverted with hope? That I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm gonna invite people to Easter. You can go to our Facebook page, there's invites there. I'm gonna get on there, I'm gonna invite all my friends. I'm gonna send text messages. I'm gonna invite people to online Easter while people are literally shut up in their house because of fear. I'm gonna go out of my way to be a carrier of hope. I've been sent with hope. So I'm gonna cross the emotional boundaries and the boundaries that people are throwing up right now, and I'm gonna interject Jesus in the middle of people's worlds. I'm gonna be sent with hope. I'm gonna be the message this Easter season. That is the message that we want our church to declare. We've been declaring it for weeks that there is hope, and I want a ringing message going around our city that declares this. This is our Easter message, that hope, it's here. You know why it's here? Because the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is alive, he is risen, and he wants to show up on the other side of the walls that we are building because of fear right now and speak to our world, peace be with you. That's the God I serve. He's not dead, he's alive. He's risen, and he's still bringing hope to people that are locked up behind the walls of fear. And I don't know what you're struggling with today, but here's what I know. Jesus wants to show up in your world right now. He wants to bring you hope in the midst of your situation. He wants to replace fear with hope. He wants to bring hopelessness, and he wants to change it into purpose in your life. But it all starts with first embracing what he told the disciples. He says, look at my hands and look at my feet. What was he saying? There is no hope without the cross. There is no hope without Jesus's death, because his death took away our sin. His death and his resurrection conquered death, hell, and the grave. And if you haven't placed your faith and your hope and your trust in him right here, right now, on the other side of an iPhone, in your living room, wherever you're watching from, is your moment to say, I'm gonna cross from death into life so that I don't have to fear anything that this world is gonna throw my way, because Jesus has overcome the world. And if that's you today, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to surrender your life to him. I wanna pray a special prayer with you today, right where you're at. And here's how we're gonna do it. I'm gonna pray a prayer, and I want you to repeat after me. And I want to remind you, it's not the words of this prayer that save us. It's the condition of our heart saying, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you. I'm turning over my life to you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. So right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer with me, we believe that hope is flooding your life, that you're a brand new creation in Christ, and we just wanna take a moment and celebrate you right where you are. This is the best decision that you will ever make in your life. But I wanna challenge the rest of our church. Literally behind me on the wall is the names of people that people have written down. Who is God putting on your heart this Easter season to bring hope to? Let's spread the message that hope is here this Easter season. And I'm believing, no matter what you're going through, man, breakthrough's coming to our world. God's about to turn this thing around and birth a brand new revival in our world. Right where you're at, come on, can we lean in for another song of worship? Let's praise him.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.